Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service. It is Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to all. To those watching us on our webcam or listening to us through our recordings page, an extra special welcome is extended to you. And a number of you contact us to remind us that you are very much part of our community. My name is Gavin Byrne. I am a member of this congregation, and I'm also a ministry student with the Unitarian College. And I'd like to specially welcome Reverend Ant Howe, who is a senior tutor with the college. Welcome, Ant. Please be very kind to Ant. Our opening words. Today we will explore and celebrate music, that musical spark of the divine, which we find throughout creation. By our presence here with one another, hearing the harmony that is the music of the spheres, may some of the harshness and discord of our human lives be transmuted into music. A new song in our hearts may there be, and a new harmony in our beings, so that we shall return to our several duties with fresh courage, with eagerness, and with rejoicing. We will now light our chalice, which is lit everywhere Unitarians gather in prayer, in celebration, in searching, and in love. May we be reminded here of our highest aspirations and be inspired to bring our gifts of love and service to the altar of humanity. May we know that we are not isolated beings, but connected in mystery and miracle to the universe, to this community, and to each other. To all who engage in violence and hatred, we call you in. We ask that you risk seeking peace, which will bring us all hope, love, and safety. And today we remember Robert Douglas, Colette and Peter's son, whose birthday is tomorrow. Our sacred space, which is gifted to us, is now alive with friendship, music, song, poetry, and the wisdom of many souls. Our first hymn this morning is number 39, Bring, O Morn, Thy Music. Let us pray. Holy Mother, Father, Creator of the universe, energy of creation, endless mystery of life, you are the music that sounded before our world was born, sound and silence woven throughout the ages, far beyond the most profound wisdom humanity has been able to touch. Be with us. Deepen our willingness to live without certainty, to take the risks of living on the edges of our creativity, to step beyond the boundaries of possibility and hope. Help us always to remember that we are in our essence the magic of star stuff, that we are kin to all that is and was and may yet come to be. Teach us to temper our impatience, to retain our conviction that what we do makes a difference, that even our smallest act can contribute to the good of a greater whole. Be with me in my uncertainties. Rejoice in my small triumphs. Comfort my losses. Remind me I am never alone, not in my joys or in my tears. And in the blessing of our silence, may I feel your presence, something greater than I have yet been able to comprehend. Amen. And now our first reading this morning will be read by Emer.
I presume that the rest of you are a bit like me and you make a mess of things occasionally, in fact, very frequently, and that you feel guilty afterwards and you beat yourself up. Well, I've been doing that recently, and then I came across a reading by the wonderful Sister Stan, and it helped. It's from her book called Seasons of Hope, and the piece is called Compassion to Self. As I strive to become more fully human, may I accept my less than perfect self. May I accept my weaknesses as my greatest treasure, keeping me humble, detaching me from my ego. May I look to myself this day with kindness. May I be loving and gentle with my clumsiness, my slowness to change, my hardness of heart, my anxiety, resentment, harsh judgments, self-pity, negativity, and with everything that keeps me from receiving hope and joy this day. May I become more compassionate towards myself as I slowly grow towards wholeness. May I become more compassionate towards myself as I slowly grow towards wholeness.
So normally we would invite the children and young people here, but I don't see any children, but I see lots of young people. So our children and young people's story this morning is called The Singing Canary. And this is a story about a little brown sparrow named Jack who learns an important message. One sunny spring morning, Jack was flying through the sky. He landed on a tree branch, stretched his wings and sang happily, "Oh, what a beautiful morning, oh, what a beautiful day." But then he heard another voice singing the exact same song, only much sweeter and softer. And it was the most beautiful bird song Jack had ever heard. Curious, he followed the sound and found a small white farmhouse. And on the windowsill sat a bright yellow bird with shiny feathers like the sun. Jack was surprised. "Who are you and what are you?" he said. "I'm a canary," said the bird kindly, "and my name is Railteen." Jack felt jealous. Railteen looked so bright and so beautiful, and her singing was really perfect. Jack said, "I heard you showing off with your singing, and you interrupted my song." "Well, I didn't mean to show off," said Railteen, very gently. "The sunlight on the garden looked so lovely, it just made me want to sing." Jack felt bad for snapping. He looked down at his brown feathers and sighed, "It's just not fair, I'm just so scruffy. I'm a scruffy sparrow and with the frogs croak for a song." But Railteen shook her head. "Don't be jealous of me, my friend. My feathers and voice are nothing. I should be jealous of you. Me, Jack chirped. What do you have that you could want? What do I have that you could want? Well, you've the greatest gift of all, said Railteen. You have freedom. And that's when Jack noticed something. A thin silver chain was tied around Railteen's leg. Oh, you're tied down, said Jack. Railteen nodded sadly. I can never fly away. I will never feel the breeze on my feathers. I will never sing in the blue, blue sky. Then suddenly Jack kind of felt lucky. He might not be the prettiest or the best singer, but he was able to fly whenever he wanted. Let's be friends, he said, and when I visit, we can sing together. And every day Jack and Railteen sang together, oh, what a beautiful day, oh, what a beautiful morning. And one day soon, Jack promised, we'll work out a way to free you from that chain. So I think the moral of the story is really clear to us. Even if someone looks perfect, they may be hiding their own sadness. So let's be thankful for what makes us special, especially our freedom. Now let us sing together hymn number 44, We Sing of Golden Mornings. My reading is entitled Playlists of the Spirit, and it's written by Connie Simon. Oscar Hammerstein II once said that when you know the notes to sing, you can sing most anything. Doe, a deer, a female deer. Many of us instantly recognize that as the first line of the song Do Re Mi from The Sound of Music. And you might be able to picture Julie Andrews as her character Maria, telling the Von Trapp children that these notes are the tools we use to build a song. Once you have these notes in your heads, you can sing a million different tunes by mixing them up. After which, of course, she bursts into song. Within 3 minutes, they're all harmonizing and parading through the streets and waterways of Salzburg, having a good old time. I know it's corny, but it's true. Think of all the music you know. Every song you ever sung or danced to or heard on the radio. Every single one of them is a different arrangement of the same notes. And using the power of imagination, composers have mixed up these notes in a gazillion different ways to express a multitude of emotions. No matter how I'm feeling, happy or sad, sick or well, fragile or unbreakable, loved or unloved, I turn to music. Music is my solace and my comfort, the one thing that's always with me. I feel its vibration deep in my soul. It's my spiritual practice. Music can calm me, excite me, and sometimes its beauty even moves me to tears. I have playlists for exercising, celebrating, mourning, driving, house cleaning, and some for just being. From Bach to James Brown, there's arrangement of those same notes for every occasion of my life, including the hard times. Music tells the story of my life. I recently went through a rough patch. I was recovering from an accident and still trying to keep up with school and my other responsibilities. I felt out of control and lost. Once again, music saved me. I played quiet, soothing music when it hurt to move. I sang inspirational gospel music for encouragement when I began to stretch my sore limbs. And today I listen to thumping hip-hop as I work my muscles back into shape. I'm forever grateful for my music, those do-re-mis that fill my soul and provide the playlist for my life. May we each be blessed by the presence and power of music in our lives. Now for our meditation, let us be still. Let us sit with our backs straight and the soles of our feet touching the floor. Feel the points of contact between our buttocks and the seat. Let us imagine an invisible thread running up from our spine to the sky, holding us in place, vertebrae by vertebrae. We are mountains, and the mountain will sit strong despite what is going on. Notice what is going on with you right now, whatever thoughts may be taking your attention. Whatever feelings or emotions or sensations in your body. What is the weather pattern inside you right now? Continue being open to this for a few moments. Let us breathe in through our nose, feeling our chests rise and our bellies fill up with air. Breathing out, we feel our chests fall and the air leaving us. Relax any tensions in our muscles by breathing into every cell in our body. Continue to breathe deeply. The choir will sing for us the prayer, Deeper Peace. Now it is thought that this prayer has its origins in pagan Irish spirituality. Deep peace is wished for us in the singing of this prayer. It is inner peace and calls us to connect with something larger than ourselves, within the sacred thread that connects us with the natural world and with each other. So as we sing, visualize the running wave, the flowing air, the shining stars, the quiet earth, and the sun of peace. This is the second service I've entitled Sacred Listening. We have a favorite reading service a couple of times a year, and I thought, why not explore music and the divinity it speaks of? I introduced last year's service by quoting Nietzsche, who said that without music, life would be a mistake. And when I read those words, I added a line to the book of Genesis. We are Unitarians, after all. On the day before God began his week's work, God created music. And that evening, God put together a playlist, the perfect soundtrack for the week's work ahead. And then on that very first Monday morning, God put on the stereo, turned up the volume, and got to work. There must have been music surrounding the creation, the big blast, the big silence that set in motion the stars and the planets, the multicolored gases that collided and brought light out of darkness. Why is music? What is music? The prayer at the beginning of the service suggests that perhaps God is the music that sounded before our world was born, sound and silence woven throughout the ages. Music is a powerful force in all human cultures. It can evoke powerful emotions and unite cultures and peoples. Just think of the songs sung in sports stadiums and upon the Eurovision stage. It is the universal language. It entertains, inspires, and evokes all kinds of powerful emotions. Music and culture are a place of innovation and change, but they can also be a window back to special times and places in our lives, a scrapbook of shared memories, a collective nostalgia. Great music transcends the times they were written in and even the people who wrote them. They are for all of us and they will endure. But for me, music is an essential accompaniment to life, to prayer. I will seek out music to lift my soul ever closer to the sacred. Last year in my address, What is the Soul?, I said, that intimate pull we feel in our hearts towards beauty and truth is perhaps the soul's expression of itself. And when I listen to music as a prayerful exercise, it pulls me towards the sacred, connects me to the divine, and is the soundtrack to the sacred thread that connects all of creation. It can also inspire and keep alive convictions and deeply held beliefs. For this year's Sacred Listening, the music I'm bringing to you has stories attached to it, and there is a theme that I discovered. Now, some are short, some of the stories are longer. The music today is about relationship, whether that is our relationship with each other or with the environment or with that which you consider sacred. Lost Birds by Christopher Tin is a musical memorial to bird species driven to extension by humanity. But it's also a celebration of the beauty of the earth. And it is also a warning about humanity's own tenuous existence on this planet. Music, like Lost Birds, calls us to protect this precious earth and God's creatures who share this planet with us. Lost Birds features lyrics from various poets, including Emily Dickinson. This poem by Sarah Teasdale features in Lost Birds. She speaks of war, and the war she's speaking of is World War I. but it is also all war, all conflict, all violence. There will come soft rains and the smell of the ground, and swallows circling with their shimmering sound, and frogs in the pools singing at night, and wild plum trees in tremulous white. Robins will wear their feathery fire, whistling their whims on a low fence wire. And no one, and not one will know of the war, not one will care at last when it is done. Not one would mind neither bird nor tree if mankind perished utterly. And spring herself, when she woke at dawn, would scarcely know that we were gone. Now to Mozart. Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 20 was written 240 years ago this year. The second movement of this concerto is called Romance. I came to know this music after watching the film Amadeus. And that's a film adaptation of Peter Schaeffer's play of the same name. Now, this piece accompanied my cycles through the Bog of Allen, which was near my school. And it's on my Walking the Hills playlist. The sleeve notes for this piece tells us, this lyrical, passionate, tender, and romantic melody paints a picture of peace and a sense of harmony between the piano and the orchestra, and has also inspired its title, Romance. Mozart loved nature, and he had a starling as a pet. And when the pet died, when the bird died, he held an elaborate funeral for it. But Schaeffer's play tells the story of Mozart through the eyes of Antonio Salieri, who was a contemporary of Mozart. And Salieri is presented here as a jealous and bitter rival to Mozart. Salieri was deeply religious and believed that musical genius was a gift from God and should only be gifted to the most pious, the most excellent human being. Now, according to a very judgy Salieri, Mozart didn't possess the same grace and character as his music would suggest. Salieri just couldn't reconcile the brilliance of Mozart with God's gift of genius. Now, it is a fictional account, but an interesting study of jealousy and blind faith. As the story is told, Salieri eventually renounces God and takes his revenge by poisoning the genius Mozart. What use, after all, is man, Salieri says, if not to teach God his lessons? The score to the film Cry Freedom was written by George Fenton and Jonas Gwanga, and it was set in 1970s apartheid South Africa. The film centers on the real life events involving South African activist Steve Biko and his friend, white journalist Donald Woods. Now, Woods initially believed Steve Biko was too radical, but he attempts to understand his way of life by learning about his life and the lives of those who were forced to live separately. They lived in poverty, and they were subject to extreme violence by the state. And you all know this was one of the greatest moral outrages of the time, apartheid. This is the first political and justice issue I cared about. And the film had a big influence on me. And as a teenager, I would have marched against apartheid in Dublin around the time of the Dunn's Stores workers' strike. Now, this piece I'm going to play for you is called Black Township, and it's from the soundtrack to the film. The music is accompanied by scenes of a black township, Etowah or Soweto, and these were places that I visited about 10 years ago as part of my work with an international youth work project. I brought this soundtrack with me, and it evokes a sense of peace and beauty in the midst of extraordinary poverty and injustice. But it is the place where revolution and the fight for freedom was born. Gabriel Fauré, one of my favorite of all time, began writing his Requiem in 1887, and it took him 3 years to complete. And it's thought he wrote it in response to his parents' death. Now, Fauré described himself as a gentle agnostic, and I think he would have liked it here. Fauré was an organist and would have accompanied many funerals in his career. Speaking about his childhood, he said, "The only thing I remember clearly is the harmonium in the little chapel, which was close to his home. Every time I could get away, I ran there. I played atrociously, but I do remember that I was happy. And if that's what it means to have a vocation, then it is a very pleasant thing." When it came to his most loved work, The Requiem, he wanted to write something very different from what he called the hell and damnation that came before him. He says, "Everything I managed to entertain by way of religious illusion, I put into my Requiem, which moreover is dominated from beginning to end by a very human feeling of faith in eternal rest." He wanted it to be gentle and comforting, and it certainly is. A requiem might very well be a prayer for the dead, but it is heard by the living. Now, the last movement is In Paradisium. In a requiem mass, it is sung just as the deceased is about to depart the church to its final resting place. Now, in paradisum, in paradise, is a prayer that you may have eternal rest as Lazarus, the beggar, has rest. And it's a radical message from the Gospels. The parable of Lazarus and the rich man is found in Luke's Gospel. It tells the story of a rich man who lived in luxury and a poor man named Lazarus. And Lazarus lay at the rich man's gate, covered in sores, begging for any scraps that might fall from the rich man's table. Both men die, but Lazarus is carried to Abraham's side in heaven, while the rich man is tormented in Hades. And the rich man begs Abraham to send Lazarus to cool his tongue with water, but of course his request is denied. He then begs for Lazarus to be sent to warn his brothers, lest they face the same fate. But Abraham refuses, saying, "They will not believe even if someone should rise from the dead." Now, in a sermon entitled "The Impassable Gulf," Martin Luther King Jr. used this parable of the rich man and Lazarus to illustrate moral and social injustice. King argued that it was the rich man's indifference to Lazarus's suffering that condemned him to Hades. A worthy metaphor for us who may find ourselves slow to acknowledge the humanity of our own Lazarus, and of course society's indifference to those who experience crippling poverty, violence, and hunger. Also think of the indifference of wealthy nations and peoples to the sufferings of those who experience genocide, famine, and hatred. So the text that is sung is, "May the angels lead you into paradise. May the choir of angels receive you. And with Lazarus, once a beggar, may you have eternal rest." And now to our final piece. Is there music to bring the reality of genocide to our hearts and minds? I did search and I thought the main theme to Schindler's List. Now, this film is based on Thomas Kennelly's book and tells the story of how Oskar Schindler saved Jewish lives during the Holocaust. Now, those who he saved gave him a signed statement attesting to his role in saving Jewish lives in the event that he was arrested by the advancing Allied troops. They presented him with a ring engraved with a teaching from the Talmud. Whoever saves one life saves the world entire. This piece that I'm going to play laments the inhumanity of the Nazis. And I bring it here today as we lament the inhumanity of state actors towards the children of Gaza. Thank you. Now let us sing our third hymn, which is number 168, One More Step. Thank you, Josh, for Debussy's Clair de Lune. Our notices. Thank you to everyone who has contributed to today's service. Emer, thank you for your reading. Thank you to our welcomers, Valerie and Daniela. Valerie, thank you for the flowers. Thank you, Jennifer, Emer, and Jiren, who are preparing the hall downstairs for us for our refreshments. Thank you to the choir, to Josh and Shari for the music. And of course, to Ayla for preparing the church for our service today. Please join us for coffee and tea downstairs after the service. Our open pulpit remains open, and we ask people to volunteer to lead services over the coming months. And the next available free pulpit is not until the 23rd of November. So if that is a date that you like, come and speak to me. Pam leads our weekly service of reflection in the church every Wednesday from 1 o'clock to 1:30. After the service, there is tea and coffee. And these sessions can be accessed, not the tea and coffee, but the meditation can be accessed live on our webcam. In June, the book club is reading Tell Me Everything by Elizabeth Strout. And the book club's next meeting is on Wednesday, the 23rd of June at 7:30 in the vestry. Please talk to Alison for details. The Unitarian Walker's next walk is on Saturday, the 12th of July, when Frank Tracy will lead us on a walk around the Liberties. And the walk will begin on the north side at 11 a.m. at the Four Courts Lewis stop. Saturday, the 28th of June, is the annual Dublin Pride Parade. And if you wish to march behind the Unitarian Love banner, please let me know. The march will start at about 1:45 on O'Connell Street. And it takes an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, to reach the finish point on Merrion Square. And I would propose we would meet as a group around 12:30 on the Saturday around the Gresham Hotel. Now, the following day, the 29th of June, is our annual Pride service. Please invite your colleagues, your friends, your family to join us as we publicly witness respect, dignity, and love. I have printed a list of the music I played throughout the address, but also throughout the service today. So if you wish to take a copy, you can do that. You might have heard and you've seen the poster at the entrance to the church. Sundays at 2 p.m. is a new initiative here in the church, and it is led by our own Classical Musicians Network, and they meet here regularly in the church. The second hour-long concert is on Sunday, the 29th of June, after our Pride service. Now, tickets are free, but any donation you wish to leave in the box will go towards our restoration fund. The last concert raised nearly €300, I believe. So you can speak to Shari if you'd like some more information. Let us now sing our final hymn, number 36, When in Our Music God is Glorified. Our final blessing. As we have listened to the blessing of music, may we know this ending as more than a time of goodbye. May the warmth of this community and the memory of our chalice flame sustain our hearts and encourage our minds as we engage the blessings of life's challenges and joys. The service has ended, and your service has begun. Go in peace, go in joy, go in love. Amen.